Monsters vs. Aliens has been out a few weeks, so forgive me if you've already lost that argument with your spawn and have seen it. I held out while I could. It sure looked to me like a corporate golem from DreamWorks, the House of Shrek, a shiny disco ball of pop culture references masquerading as humor, and hollow, rubbery characters tiptoeing across the digital astroturf with Barbie doll stiffness. And underneath the 3D gloss, if you're seeing it in 3D, and otherwise what's the point, that's exactly what it is. Briefly, to give the traditional elements of the film their due, the story is that pretty Susan is rescued, on her wedding day, from marrying a selfish jerk by being struck by a meteorite. She grows and fills the church, Alice-like, then bursts the ceiling, though miraculously not her bodice, eventually giving the 50-foot woman a run for her money. There's a cute reference to those Atomic Age movies when a tank puts her down with a giant hypo in a shapely thigh. Susan is now the property of General Monger, a ringer for George C. Scott's General Ripper, War Room and all. General Monger renames her Ginormica, which never stops being funny, and throws her in the can with four other misfit monsters. It's better that you use your own imagination to describe the monsters. You'll come up with something much more interesting than DreamWorks did. Aliens invade the Earth, the monsters are released to combat them, and mayhem ensues. Well, that's enough of those musty elements, plot, character, and mise-en-scene. This ain't your father's film. We're talking 3D. Let's begin again. In Monsters vs. Aliens, stuff seems to pop right out of the screen and fly at your head. Gee whiz! This begins with the corporate logo for Real D, the brand upon which DreamWorks honcho Jeffrey Katzenberg has staked his entire company's future. Then the film kicks off by attacking you with a flying paddleball. Whee! Depth of field, the strong suit of 3D, has been employed expertly. There are a lot of wide open spaces with very little detail to better give you a sense of scale. When a robot attacks a skyscraper in the background, you feel its ginormity. And when Susan enters the foreground, just try not to say, "Sit down, lady, you make a great wall." And wait until you see the action movie tropes kick in. Swooshing down hallways on hover shoes, zipping around in an aerial dogfight, or the ooh and ah of the mothership exploding into brilliant pixels of flaming debris. But is this really what we want to be talking about when we come out of a movie? In Aldous Huxley's book Brave New World, and I know I keep talking about this, but it came true, patrons exiting the Feelies, a kind of movie with a tactile element, could only praise the vibrant colors of the helicopter explosion or the tickle of each hair of the bearskin rug as the hero and his conquest had sex. The nightmare scenario is that our tools will take us over, like computer graphics did to the last decade of stupid movies. Of course, 3D is merely a tool, and though the geeks and the suits have got it now, artists will get interested eventually and demand it. Seeing through the screen, into the diorama, is as big a change as sound or color, not necessarily in advance, a change. But what bugs me about this change are the trade-offs. Putting something on your face, the inability to focus on detail, and more. Not to mention that admission price is 20% higher. You, even without a spouse and your two kids, cost about as much as a Blu-ray disc. And that's without the popcorn. One parting thought. Monsters vs. Aliens is catnip for kids, and Babe, Pig in the City, Return to Oz, Coraline, and the forthcoming Where the Wild Things are way too scary, downright irresponsible nightmare makers. Right? Right? Well, my 7-year-old, whose favorite film recently is the 5-hour cut of the subtitled German film Das Boot, said, "Yeah, it was pretty good. Too bad it was in 3D. I wanted to see a real movie, not have stuff flying at my face." That's my boy. Reviewing movies for WFIU, this is Peter Noble Kachera.